Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, and this is your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Today, we're going to go over some top stories, including one report that clarifies which of the Dolphins' fourth-round picks that the Steelers received in their trade to get Minkah Fitzpatrick, as well as a report from Ed Bouchette on some words from Emmanuel Sanders about Ben Roethlisberger and whether or not he would ever return to play for the Steelers. We'll also get into some mock draft mania. We have a new mock draft from the Draft Network, as well as Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN. And then we'll finish off talking about what it might mean for the Steelers to go running back by committee in 2020. Let's get into it. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Let's get into the show, starting off with our top stories. I'm going to lead off with a Friday Insider note that I kind of wanted to talk about both on Friday and on Monday, but I wanted to get over on the Pro Bowl and the Senior Bowl and let us digest that and save this point for today. Now, you guys know Dale Lally, the guy from DKPittsburghSports.com, guy I work under. He's our beat writer there. He had an interesting note in the Friday Insider, and this was clarification on the Steelers' trade with Minkah Fitzpatrick. Now, if you know, you've been listening throughout the season, Tony and I were trying to figure out all season long which of the Dolphins' picks that the Steelers received in their trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Now, we all know the Steelers gave away a first-round pick in exchange for Minkah Fitzpatrick, but we also know that they were supposed to receive a fourth-round pick from the Dolphins, but it wasn't sure whether they were receiving the Dolphins' actual first-round or fourth-round pick, or if they were receiving the Titans' fourth-round pick, which the Dolphins had already acquired. Well, Dale Lally's report says that it is indeed the Dolphins' fourth-round pick, which means, as of right now, the Steelers get the 99th pick in the draft. This would add on to them having the 49th pick of the draft in the second round, which would be their top two picks in the draft. However, it is expected that the Steelers are to get a third-round compensatory pick for their loss of Le'Veon Bell, as well as officially Dante Moncrief, when other players came into play, like LJ Fort. With that additional ammunition, the Steelers are looking at a situation where they'll have the 49th pick and then a pick between 93 and 99, and then with the compensatory picks, that'll bump the fourth round pick that they received from the Dolphins into the low hundreds. But still, this is a good position to be in. You're going to have some ammunition. You might have a chance to trade up and get a higher pick in the third round, because you're talking about multiple picks that you can give away there if you see someone special that's kind of floating around and no one's sure about. So I think that's an interesting point, because you know, there were some people who said, oh, it's definitely the Titans pick, it's definitely the Dolphins pick. And my whole point this whole time was nobody knows. And there were several websites that I were checking, and I was looking over any information, transactions, anything I could get my hands on to figure out what this was. But what I suspected, as I said before in the show earlier in the year, was that there might have been a contingency on or a stipulation to the trade as to which pick the Steelers got, and we just weren't sure who it would be until we received official confirmation. Well, with this isn't officially from the teams, but I take it on good authority when Dale gives a report like this that he has a very good source that's clarifying it for him. So right now, we're looking at the Steelers getting the 49th and the 99th pick of the draft, with their chance to get another pick higher than the 99th pick with compensatory picks coming into play. Though that would also, again, push his other pick, or the Steelers' other pick, back into probably the hundreds. But still, good position there for the Steelers. They'll have some decent picks in the early part of the middle rounds. So they at least have some ammunition going into this draft, because everyone's been concerned about, oh, was losing that first round pick worth it? Yes, it was. They got Minkah Fitzpatrick. Yeah, this guy's all pro safety, and he's like, what, 23 years old, and he's two more years under his rookie contract before they have to even start considering to pay him. I think that they definitely want out there. We'll get into you know, whether they won out, because we got two mock drafts we're going to cover in our second segment today, going over what the Steelers actually lost for Minkah Fitzpatrick. That's the 18th pick, but 18th pick of the draft, which the Dolphins have. But right now, looking good, considering the draft situation that they have available to them and how good Minkah Fitzpatrick is right now. Okay, so the other story I wanted to get into was a report from Ed Bouchette of The Athletic. And he had some interesting quotes from Emmanuel Sanders, former Steelers wide receiver, third round pick of the 2010 draft. Everyone remembers Emmanuel Sanders. You know, he was part of the Young Money crew with Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, and Emmanuel Sanders. They were going to take over the team and everything going on there. But Sanders eventually ended up bouncing around the league a little bit. He went to the Broncos, where he won a Super Bowl with them. And it's interesting because if you remember, Emmanuel Sanders had very public comments about how Peyton Manning, when he joined the Broncos, how Peyton Manning was a true leader. He was a quote-unquote far better leader than Ben Roethlisberger. So that was kind of interesting. Well, Ed Bouchette did an interesting story on The Athletic. I suggest you go check it out. Where Emmanuel Sanders, you know, he's in the Super Bowl again with the 49ers, said that there is zero chance that he would ever return to Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger still as the team's quarterback. And he said, and I quote, "I would love that, but me and Ben don't have the best relationship. I believe that bridge is burnt," Sanders told Ed Bouchette. If you remember, again, Sanders was drafted to the Steelers. He had 4 years with the team. And he, you know, while he was in Pittsburgh, like, he made some plays for him. He was definitely a threat. He was coming up in the league. People were starting to recognize him. But when he was let go, and the Steelers kind of had a logjam at wide receiver, they had Mike Wallace, who was the deep play threat, and then eventually Antonio Brown was becoming Antonio Brown and was just too much for the Steelers to pass up on. Well, Emmanuel Sanders, when he went to the Broncos and he was working under Peyton Manning, that's when he kind of blew everything up. He passive-aggressively called out Peyton Manning, just saying, you know, or called out Ben Roethlisberger by saying Peyton Manning was a far better leader than Roethlisberger. And he also said that it was the first time that he had a quarterback that stayed every single day after practice. So that was a clear shot at Ben Roethlisberger, considering that he's the only starting quarterback that he ever worked with. And what's crazy was back then, this is way back in 2014, 2015, Antonio Brown went to Ben Roethlisberger's defense. He went to bat for the guy. Oh, man, weird times, right? Anyways, the story went on to talk about Emmanuel Sanders trying to backing up what he said, 6 years ago now, back in 2014. Basically, Emmanuel Sanders kind of went in and just said, you know, everyone kind of grows up eventually. And he said that he also said that Ben grew up. And here's the quote. He said, "When I first got to Pittsburgh, Ben was still like a little bit of a jerk, and a lot of people didn't know that. That was in 2010. Ben has grown up a lot, you know? He was still like a jerk. I had to deal with him for like 2 years as a rookie with him being a jerk, you know? I said, who the heck is this dude? So I grew to not like him, but just to deal with him. But from what I've heard, he's grown up a lot, which is good because I've grown up too." Now, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think the Niners were going to trade Emmanuel Sanders, or he was coming to the Steelers anyways. But it's interesting to see this narrative open back up. And this is different from the narrative that people were saying, you know, because some people said Ben Roethlisberger was to blame for Antonio Brown's falling apart, which, you know, so I think got conflated with other legitimate arguments that questioned his leadership. And you know, no one should blame Ben Roethlisberger for Antonio Brown going crazy. That's one thing. But acknowledging where he might have lacked as a leader and where he might still lack as a leader, that's certainly not something to just sniff at and act like it doesn't exist. But I think it's very interesting considering the dynamics of the situation and Emmanuel Sanders, where he's at. He's in the Super Bowl again. You know, he's been in the Super Bowl, what, three times, four times now? Because I think he was with the Broncos when they lost to the Seahawks. He was with the Broncos when they beat the Panthers. He's with the Niners now, and he was with the Steelers when they lost to the Packers. Though he was hurt, he wasn't on an active roster. Well, he was kind of on the roster, but he was hurt for that game. But still, he's been around the Super Bowl a lot. Why would he bring this up? Probably because he got asked a question and he felt like, yeah, I feel like dishing on this. So interesting stuff there from Emmanuel Sanders. Again, I don't take this as a shot about the AB situation at all. I take this as just his genuine feelings towards Roethlisberger and someone just asked at the right time. So, interesting story there. We'll keep tabs to see if there's any response from Ben Roethlisberger. Be right back, and we're going to get into some mock draft mania. All right, let's get into some mock draft talk here. Got two mock drafts to go over. Turned out there was a mock draft from the Draft Network. Just wasn't up when I was recording for Monday's show, so we're going to get into it. Now, this isn't a two-round mock draft, so we're not dealing with any of the actual Steelers picks, but we can still get some interesting information out of it. We'll compare and contrast this with the picks from Mel Kiper in his first official mock draft, which also released last week. Eventually, I'm going to start doing mock drafts, guys, but I'm still compiling all my information. I don't want to jump out and make rash conclusions and do all the things that bad draft analysts do. I genuinely like to do my own research and, you know, go over tape of different games for certain players, make my own evaluations of their skills. I always read what other analysts are putting together. The people that put together the big boards and have all the information, that stuff is extremely valuable. It's very difficult to put together. And then I like to pick through and see, okay, what do I see from this guy? And kind of create my own, you know, mini board on what the Steelers should be looking at. I wrote a whole thing about last year about, you know, why they should have traded up and why I thought they were going to trade up to get Devin Bush, and they ended up doing it. So that was interesting. But let's get into some mock draft mania. Starting off with the Draft Network, it's Trevor Sekema's 5.0 mock draft. So, mock draft 5.0 for this season, and he only did the first round, so we're not going to talk. He doesn't have anyone slated to go to the Steelers, but it's interesting to see where he went with everything. Now, every draft pick, every draft board, or in every mock draft, you could tell it's fake immediately if Joe Burrow isn't going to the Bengals, because that is just going to happen. People need to accept it. It's the future. Now, what comes after that is with Washington, they got Chase Young. And then Trevor had an interesting situation where he had the Carolina Panthers trading up to the 3 spot to get Tua Tagovailoa. My general rule, unless I'm looking at something specific, I'm very rarely calling for a trade in the draft. It's so hard to predict who's going to do what and write that out into a mock draft article and get into that stuff. But the interesting thing about this draft, as we go through, there's a lot of receivers, a lot of offensive linemen. Kalyvan Chason, the guy who several people have been slating to go to the Miami Dolphins at 18, in this mock draft, goes to the Falcons at number 10. So that's a very interesting pick right there. But again, you see just time and time again, linemen's going up, Mekhi Becton, and this one going at 11. Jordan Love, Trevor has him going at 13 to the Indianapolis Colts, which I thought was interesting. You got some interesting moves here. The Browns getting Andrew Thomas from Georgia. I really like Andrew Thomas's handwork. I've seen him throw some really good punches, you know, in his dropback. The Cowboys getting Grant Delpit at 17, but who do the Dolphins get with 18? Henry Ruggs III, the playmaking wide receiver for Alabama. I do think that's a good pick. Is it better than Minkah Fitzpatrick? No. But all in all, still I think a good thing to at least know at least look at. Not know, we're not knowing anything. It's a mock draft. But this is an interesting look at here because the Dolphins do need weapons. They're also rebuilding. You know, who's to say that maybe they don't get Phillip Rivers, because he's in Miami. He's moved to Miami now, and you know they're also looking at other things. So lots of things there. But we go on with the rest of the first round mock. Nothing crazy on the rest of this list. You got Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver from LSU, going to the Saints. I looked at the rest of this list. Josh Jones, offensive tackle from Houston, going to the Titans. Like, they need more good offensive linemen. But you look at this list, not a single running back goes in the first round. Not a single one. If that is the case going into the second round, I would have smiles on if I'm a Steelers fan, because that means that the Steelers might have a good shot at a running back. And again, the top three in my book right now: Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, you got Dobbins from Ohio State, and you got DeAndre Swift from Georgia. Swift from Georgia, top of the brand. If you get him, see you later. Just get out of here. Run to the podium, put the name down, run away with DeAndre Swift, and celebrate for the next couple months. It'd also be just a massive steal. But we're going to compare that and contrast that a little bit with what Mel Kiper said in his first mock draft just last week. It's my opinion that the Steelers need to go after a running back. They need to get into that position, and this would be the time to make such a move. Mel Kiper goes on, like everyone else, he has Joe Burrow and Chase Young going at 1 and 2 to the Bengals and Washington, respectively. He has Tua Tagovailoa going to the Dolphins at 5. Herbert going to the Chargers at 6, which is pretty interesting. And then you start seeing the run on guys in the trenches. Derrick Brown, defensive tackle for Auburn, going to the Panthers at 7. Arizona Cardinals getting Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle from Georgia at 8. Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina, defensive tackle, going to the Jaguars at 9. Mekhi Becton, you know, we have talked about him, the tackle from Louisville, going to the Browns at 10. And again, these are all speculation. These are mock draft. This is not the same thing. But you have to look at this, and you have to look at, wow, man, all these guys with the sources around the teams, and they're suggesting that it may be time for the Steelers to maybe just not go after offensive linemen in the second round. Because if we're talking about the top 10 linemen off the board, you can't go after the 11th best lineman, even if it's just 10. You can't go after the 11th best lineman when you might have a top 3 running back available. Because they need the best contributors that they can get on offense. That includes tight end. And I wouldn't keep receiver off of the ballot for later. But finishing out Mel Kiper's list here, you got CeeDee Lamb going to the Raiders, wide receiver from Oklahoma, Jerry Jeudy going to the Colts. Thought that was interesting. Ruggs going to the Broncos at 15. He also, again, has Kalavon Chasen, outside linebacker from LSU, going to the Dolphins at 18. I've seen at least 4 different mocks talking about Chasen going to the Dolphins at this pick. Chasen's an athletic guy. He's a slimmer type of pass rusher, but he is electric. He also gets after the ball well. I think any team would be happy to have him. Is he as good as Minkah Fitzpatrick? No! So, there's that. He goes on. Cole Kmet from Notre Dame is the first tight end off his board, going to the Jaguars at 20. And you keep going down this list. He has Jordan Love going to the Saints at 24 from Utah State. Josh Jones going to the Vikings at 25. But this is where it's interesting, because this is where I also agree. I do think that a couple teams at least will try to make a move at running back. And he has the Dolphins with the 26th pick of the draft getting DeAndre Swift, running back from Georgia. I really think that people are going to see these guys and say, you know what, we need a top playmaker. Let's add him to the list, even if it's not going to be available right away. And DeAndre Swift here going to the Dolphins. They do need a running back. You know, they gave up Kenyon Drake, and, you know, they were just rebuilding last year. So DeAndre Swift, they still need an offensive line, but that would be an interesting pick for them. Is it better than Minka Fitzpatrick? No. we're going to keep that theme going. But as you see, continuing on with the list, after that, no other running back is selected. So according to Mel Kiper, if the draft were to go his way with his first mock draft, that would still leave Dobbins and Taylor available in the second round and potentially in range for the Steelers to make a move and get one of them. And again, I really think that if they get either or of Dobbins or Taylor or Swift, that is a win of a second round pick at 49. I think either one of those three could become very talented. The Steelers have a good makings of an offensive line. They just need a playmaker to add to the offense. So that's why I'm looking at those situations, and I think those are particularly interesting. We're going to get into one more break, and then I got some takes to get off my chest. But a word from our sponsors. Final segment. We're going to get into a take that I have going into the offseason, something that I've kind of alluded to several times before, but I want to kind of make it clear with this right here. And that's that the Steelers really should not afford themselves the opportunity to have to wait on a running back by committee situation to work. I know everyone's really excited about the prospect of it because they're looking at what the Niners are doing with Raheem Mostert and Matt Breida and whoever else that they're running with. I get it. There's a lot of guys that they haven't really manifested into being a star running back, but they have kind of all these different guys that, hey, you know, they're good enough. They're getting the job done. And people thinking, oh, wow, look at that. And everyone thinks that, you know, everyone calls the NFL a copycat league. I'm not going to rush to say this is a copycat situation. I'm going to say that this is more so of a, you know, recognize what kind of situation has favored their run to the playoffs right now and has allowed for these big moments. I brought this up with Hunter Homestek on our Sports on Tap show, and we talked about this, and I said the Packers defense was made to get bullied by a running team. I think that in the NFC Championship game, if the Titans were somehow in the NFC, they would have found a way to beat those Packers. But I don't think that necessarily means, you know, some guys in Pittsburgh media, you know, as soon as the Niners won the NFC, they were like, oh, that's the ticket. The Steelers just have to do that. Just run with James Conner, Benny Snell, and Jalen Samuels. They'll be fine next year. Well, that didn't exactly work great this year. And it didn't exactly work great the year before with Ben Roethlisberger when he was healthy. No, I think they need a better approach. And part of that approach needs to be a better running back and at least someone that they can lean on to be a big time playmaker. Now, again, this isn't saying that, you know, James Conner stinks, but the reality is that he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And as much as he should be celebrated for his accomplishments and for surviving cancer and for coming back into the NFL, and he's got the autobiography coming out that we talked about last week, you know that's all great, and you know, and he's a hero because of those things. However, if I'm the Steelers, I can't bank on this guy right now unless he shows that he can last a full season and be productive. And right now, if you're the Steelers and you see a guy who's the top, you know, one of the top three players at his position in the draft, and he falls to you, do you really pass on that player for another position that you might not need as much or might have, you know, might be a lower tier than that? I don't think that's the answer right now. I think the answer is to get a guy that you know that you want to carry the load. Now, maybe Benny Snell could become that guy, but Benny Snell still has to show it. And here's the thing, if you draft a guy in the second round, he ends up, and Benny Snell overtakes him, great, Benny Snell overtakes him, and that's another story. But I really think that Benny Snell, he's going to have to, like we've been talking about all season, I think Benny Snell's going to have to lose some pounds, pick up his foot pace, and we're going to be able to see him, what he's like at his full strength in the NFL. But can the Steelers really afford to gamble on that right now? Because, we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger's final years. Get them a playmaking running back, a guy who can carry the load, be someone that you can at least be excited about carrying the ball. Now, I understand fumbles may be a problem, but you know what? Fumbles were a problem with James Conner. You know, they're a problem with any of the running backs, really. So I'd be willing if I'm Kevin Colbert to take the risk with the second round to get one of those top backs and say, hey, you're plugging into the system. And the thing is that you can still put in the other running backs that you have to kind of, you know, take the load off of them and not overload them. You know, a lot of people, you know, sometimes suggest that, oh, Mike Tomlin, he just wants to run the wheels off his running backs. Well, no, he wants to feed his best players. When Willie Parker was first in Pittsburgh, when he got there, Willie Parker was one game, one injury from being the league leading rusher in 2006 before Mike Tomlin got there. In 2007, he was one of the best offensive weapons they had. In 2008, you know, he got hurt and they kind of had to work around without him. But then in that Chargers game, he went loose for him in the playoffs. And then you really didn't see that really return until Le'Veon Bell took over. And even then, you still saw, you know, occasionally D'Angelo Williams, Moaldy Moore, those type of guys. He kept around to at least give those guys breathers. And I do think a rookie running back would need breathers. And you like the prospect of James Conner as a receiving back. He looked like he was adjusting. You may want to use some of these guys to double as an extra fullback or, you know, or someone else to just line up in the position. I think that Roosevelt Nix, if he can be healthy, that also adds another layer to the offense, like you're seeing with Kyle Juszczyk with the Niners. But I really look at the Steelers situation with their running backs, and I don't think the answer is waiting around and hoping that one of the guys that they have develops. You know, as patient as I often say to be, I think this is one of the very few situations where you're like, you know what? You got to take it. You can take a shot here. Because here's the thing. If you get your guy, then you can let James Conner go and keep Benny Snell. If you don't get your guy and it's James Conner or Benny Snell, then you cross that bridge when you get there. But they need a playmaker on offense. They need someone who's going to be a game changer with that second round pick. You know, we're not looking at depth safety, or, you know, if they do bring back Bud Dupree like I expect them to, we're not looking at an edge rusher. We're looking at a person who's going to contribute quickly on offense, and running back is the main position for that to happen. So my take going into this offseason, and I want to reiterate that I've said several times on this show, things can happen very quickly to change things with players being cut and free agency changing, and then, you know, certain moves being available. This could all change in a couple weeks, but the Steelers should be looking to solidify their backfield with a top prospect that would allow them to bank on at least one guy being a playmaker and potentially a game changer. That's my show for today. You listen to the Locked On Steelers podcast. If you like the show, please subscribe on the Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts are hosted. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, please also leave a 5-star review as well as a positive comment. Those things help me promote the show and get the word out there about the Locked On Steelers show. You can join the Locked On community on Facebook. We have a whole Facebook group with fellow loyal listeners. There's hundreds of us out there. Go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You can ask to join the group. I'll add you as soon as I get the chance. You can interact with all of our listeners in the group, as well as myself and former co-host Tony Serino. We're all in the group together. If you want to follow me specifically, look me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques, where you could, if you follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit me with an at, hit me with a DM. Always down to chat with you guys. Thanks for those who do reach out to me. Sorry if I don't respond right away. I'm often really busy trying to balance everything, but we really appreciate you guys. You know, everyone in the Locked On Steelers community. I'll be back tomorrow talking more Pittsburgh Steelers.